season finale. It has all come down to this. So this is episode 29 for the Intensity miniseries, part 3. And so far, we have gone over everything we need to know about failure, intensity, and actually knowing how to train. But in this episode, we're going to go over a few things to help you actually gauge whether you are hitting the target RPE or intensity that you are planning in your head or that is in your program. And this is where RPE comes into play. But before we get started, I just want to take a quick second to ask for your help. If you have already, you can ignore this. Thank you so much. But if you haven't and would like to help me out, it would be extremely appreciated. And it helps me more than you think. So if you could just take 5 seconds to give the podcast a 5-star review and even share it on your Instagram and tag me, or just share it to a family member or a friend who you think would benefit from knowing this kind of information. So again, for the people who have or for the people who will, thank you again for your support and all the messages. I really do appreciate it, and it's why I do what I do. So without further ado, let's finish this series. So holy dooly, there was a lot of do's there, but anyway, RPE. So the funny thing about RPE is people love to shit on it and say it's not precise, it's not exact data. And like when working out their training intensity, they love to say that because you're doing a calculation of a percentage that it's really precise. So feel free to use this episode as a piece of info to send to anyone who tries to tell you that RPE isn't good or isn't precise because it isn't data or numbers. Like, just because someone is calculating numbers and data, it doesn't mean that it's correct or precise. Like, the thing that does my head in about it is like they go on about how precise and correct this data is, but where the fuck did you get that data from? Like, just because it's numbers, it doesn't just automatically mean it's the holy grail gold standard way to calculate. So like, don't get me wrong, percentage-based training does have its place, but RPE is so good because it accounts for your everyday readiness, your recovery levels, and how you're feeling. Like, it's by far the best way to gauge training intensity, and I will die on that hill because our strength and our readiness and our energy, they fluctuate all the time, day to day. If we sleep poorly, our perceived exertion and our effort of things increases. If we don't hydrate or we eat poorly, our perceived exertion and effort of things increases. If we're stressed in life for whatever reason, like it could be family, financial, relationships, work, our perceived exertion and effort of things increases. Because that with these, they create an extra stress on your body. And now we're in more of a sympathetic or that fight or flight nervous system state. So we have hormones fluctuating and that puts us in this highly aroused state. Like in small bouts, it's good. It's what helps us run away from that line or get in that fight or do that speech, whatever. Our heart rate goes up, blood pressure increases, we get hormones that stimulate focus and energy. And they are all good things, don't get me wrong. But when there is too much of it for too long, we get anxious, we're highly strung, we're on edge, we're fatigued, we're drained. Like if you're just like, even if you're just tired from a bad sleep, we're fatigued, we're tired, we're moody, grumpy, we don't feel strong, our body feels weak. So things feel heavier and they're harder than normal because we don't have the energy or we're not well rested. If we don't eat, we don't have energy and nutrients. It's harder for our body to not only have energy to use, but to create fuel for our muscles and supply our muscles with the fuel they need. So things are harder, heavier, more tiring. We can't do as many reps. So now what's usually not easy, but what's normal or tolerable is now extremely hard and sometimes borderline impossible because we're not in the state to be able to perform. So let's say last week you did a squat for 100 kilos and let's say that was a genuine RPE 7, right? 7 out of 10 difficulty. That same 100 kilos could now be a 9 or a 10 out of 10 RPE or difficulty, and it will affect the body differently than when we weren't stressed or we weren't tired or hungry or dehydrated. Remember, we only need to go to 2 or 4 reps or so away from failure to get the same adaptations and the same gains. There is no specific number of weight or reps you have to do, right? Your body's not like, wait, that was 99 instead of 100. I'm not adapting today. So today, if you feel stressed, whatever, or tired, haven't eaten, whatever, If that 100 kilos feels way heavier and you only do 5 reps of it instead of 8, but it still felt like an RPE of 8, you still trained the perfect amount for your body on that day. If you tried to do the normal 100 kilo for the 8 reps you did before instead of dropping it down to 5 or dropping the weight, you're now training a lot closer to, if not to, failure, as it's too much for your current capacity or ability. So RPE is your rate of perceived exertion, i.e. how hard you felt a set was, right? You can use it as like a general estimation for general training intensity or cardiovascular fitness, or in general, like how hard an overall session was. Like, oh yeah, that was about a 7 out of 10 hard, or that was a 5 out of 10 hard, right? But when it comes to weight training, we need to be a bit more specific than that when we're talking about individual strength training sets. And that's where we start to think about and use reps in reserve in conjunction with RPE. So reps in reserve, RIR, that's basically how many more reps you think you could have done if you truly went to failure, right? So remember from episode 1 and 2, true failure, not just what you think is hard so you quit, true failure. So RPE 10 means you couldn't have got one more rep or added even 10 more grams to the bar. That was your maximum. RPE 9, you could have added weight or you could have done one more rep. RPE 8, you could have done 2 more reps or added more weight. And you can get fancy and use 0.5 increments, so 9.5, 8.5, etc. And that basically says like you could add more load, but you couldn't do reps, or you could potentially add another rep. So let's say it's 9.5. You maybe could have added more load, but there's no way you could have done another rep. Or 7.5 could mean like you could have got 2 reps definitely, but you're not sure about 3, right? For 99% of people, straight full numbers are way more than enough. Like the 0.5s are for those competitive powerlifters because it's their sport. Like they need to be specific. They need to be bang on with their prescription and their tracking. But for most people's goals and their level of training, you only need the solid numbers. So you don't need to be an advanced lifter to use RPE. That's not what I'm saying. Like for the advanced lifters, they're going to be using the 0.5s and stuff. But you don't need to be an advanced lifter to use RPE. You can use the solid numbers, and you just need to be self-aware and actually think about how hard you could have actually gone. And like, yes, I agree, it needs a lot of practice. It's a skill. It needs education. But in the long run, it's going to lead to way more progress and way less stiffness and soreness and stress around training. Because let's say you're tired or whatever, depending on how you feel, you can easily adjust the weights or the volume or your overall training based on how you feel. Because newsflash, I know this is going to shock you, we aren't robots. We can't just do the exact thing we want at the exact time, the way we plan it every single time. We get tired, we get stressed, we forget to eat, we eat too much, we get heaps of energy, we feel really good sometimes, sometimes we don't have energy. You might go through a busy week at work or with family and that's stressing you. You might have personal things going on where you're stressing about that, or you're worried about that every day. You might be traveling, you might not make it to the gym one day. Like we are up and down like yo-yo. So we need to make sure that our training is flexible too, because if we have this rigid plan, we're not allowing and adjusting for how we feel day to day. We can't have this rigid, strict plan that you have to hit 82.5% on this day for 3 reps, or if you don't, you're not going to progress. Like it's all bullshit, right? And the crazy thing is, like, even if you are in these stressful states, you can still maintain your muscle, like the current muscle you have, on a third, even up to like a ninth, even down to a ninth of your weekly training volume. So it's always still better to go in and train and adjust with your RPE than just like take a full week off because you wouldn't have hit your normal numbers. Like I've got a lot of clients who, when they started with me, they wouldn't train, or they would go in and train and have to hit the numbers they hit last week, not realizing that they were stressed or tired or hadn't eaten, or they had all these other things on and they were tired, and they would get frustrated that they couldn't hit their normal numbers that they hit last week, not knowing and appreciating the fact they weren't in the same mindset, energy levels and things like that. So remember, even though that absolute weight, so the actual weight on the bar or the machine, whatever, is lower, the RPE is still going to be the same for your body. It's the same exertion and effort and energy and stress on your body. So Again, let's use an example. So let's say you do 100 kilos one day and it's an RPE 8, right? It is the same stress, overall stress and stimulus to the body as an RPE 8 would be at 95 kilos. Or let's say you went up to 105 kilos and it's an RPE 8, it is the same stress to your body, right? And when we talk about like taking days off or not training, like sometimes, yes, a rest day will be better than training. But if you want to go listen to that, I believe that is in episode 20. It's should I train or rest? Like, and into that, I dive more into if you should take a day off or if you're being a wuss and making excuses. But when we talk about that RPE 8, it is the same stress to your body all the time. And yes, we're going to go into making sure that it actually is an RPE 8 and you don't just think it is, but 100 kilos at RPE 8 one week, if you then feel stressed and tired and you can only do 95, or if then one week you feel really good and it's 105, they are all the same stress to the body, okay? So we've talked about RPE, reps in reserve. So reps in reserve, how many reps you could have got if you went to full failure. But the problem here, and this is the problem I do acknowledge with RPE, is it's very subjective. And people often underestimate incredibly when it comes to doing their training. So a few examples and a few strategies here. So we know the scale, 1 to 10. So 10, you couldn't do any more reps or weight, or that's a reps in reserve of 0. RPE 9 is one more rep, or you could have done more load, or well, that's an RIR of 1. So RPE 8, two more reps, or an RIR of 2. 7 RPE would be 3 reps in reserve. 6 RPE would be 4 reps in reserve. And the rest doesn't really, below that, doesn't really matter. Like, you'd only train below an RPE 6 for like warm-ups or in rehab or when you're coming off like a long layoff from the gym. And again, we can dive into that another episode, but we know RPE 6, but mostly like 7 to 8 is going to be the sweet spot most of the time for strength training and hypertrophy. So going to RPE 9 and 10, like I've said before, that's okay. Like with some isolation exercises and every now and then on others, like if you're planning it in your training. But again, like if you're doing a hack squat to an RPE of 10 every single time you train, it's going to fuck you up a lot more than a leg extension to an RPE 10 would. Or a barbell bench press to an RPE 10 is going to fuck you up a lot more than an RPE 10 of a chest fly. So sometimes RPE going to failure is fine and it can be actually beneficial as long as you're not doing it all the time and that's the only way you train. Like, I will tell you when I want you to go balls to the wall failure and where it's actually a useful tool. And the first method that I like to use to calibrate this and actually go full failure, it's a way to calibrate the gauge of if you're correct. And it's called an anchoring set. And it's a strategy that I love to use with clients who can tolerate it, who they physically can put the effort in and do it, and they understand what they need to do. And anchoring sets are useful because you have to go to full failure and practice picking the RPE of when you would normally finish. So the idea is, let's say you're doing a leg press, right? Safety concerns aside, like we're assuming you've set the safety catch on, or you have a spotter, or and you're experienced with the machine, you've used it before. You're doing a leg press, you'd put a weight on you think you could do for, let's say, 10 or 12, 15, whatever. Like, don't be conservative. The idea is this is meant to be hard, okay? And the exact numbers don't really need to be perfect, but okay, so let's say you've picked 100 kilos or whatever, and you think, okay, I'm going to do that. So you start the reps, you start the leg press. Once you get to what you think is an RPE 8, no matter what rep you're at, I don't care, you'd call it out, right? You are trying to guess what rep is RPE 8 for you, right? So physically out loud to yourself, say, yep, okay, RPE 8 and I'm at rep 7, right? Now you need to go to full physical failure. I'm talking there is someone next to you on another leg press and the most reps wins $50 million. Like, you need to do as many reps as you physically can. None of this like, oh, my legs are tired, or ouch, that burns. None of that bullshit. I want as many fucking reps as you physically can. And I've given you a pass to do this. Like, you can throw up, you can not walk for days. I don't care. As I said, every now and then it's okay, because you obviously, before you go and do this anchoring set, you would have planned this. So you're not running a marathon the next day. You're not playing sport the next day or two. You can take your training down elsewhere. You can sleep, eat, recover, right? The problem is when you do this day in, day out with every single exercise and you don't give your body that chance to ever catch up or recover, right? So back to the anchoring rep. You've said RPE 8 at 7 reps. Now full failure. If you go any more than 9 reps, your guess of RPE 8 at 7 reps was wrong. Right? Your assumption was wrong and your gauge is off. But that's the whole purpose of this, right? Because you got more than 2 extra reps. Like, we know an RPE 8 is saying I could have got 2 more reps, right? If you get more, so you've set it at 7, if you get more than 9 reps, you were wrong because you got more than 2 reps. And most people, like when they do this for the first time, they'll get like 10, 12, 15 extra reps and they're like, holy shit, like I actually do have more in the tank. Like, yes, you've been training like a baby. Like, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. I'm just joking, it's fine. But you need to realize that when you do this for the first time, it's going to happen. Like, don't get upset. Like, don't be like, oh my God, this is the worst ever, whatever. The whole purpose is we're doing this on purpose. Like, it's good practice and it's the whole point of doing this. This is then what you can refer back to when using your RPE day to day. Like, this is the experience that I was and the education and the practice I was talking about. Like, let's say then maybe next week you try it on an upper body exercise, and then every now and then you just redo them to calibrate a bit more. And over time, this is where that practice and that experience comes from. And this is how you get good at rating your perceived exertion. And again, it takes honesty. Like, you can't lie to yourself because you, at the end of the day, you're only cheating yourself. But I know for the fact you're still here listening to this, it means you want to improve and you want to start making progress. So that's anchoring sets, method one. So you pick a weight, you do it, you call out where RPE8 is, and you just physically go to full failure and you see how close your RPE gauge was, right? The next method, or this one's more of a bit of advice I'd give to check whether you're going anywhere close to failure, is rep speed. And you'll need to set up your camera and record your sets for this. And what you're looking at is for your reps to slow down over your set, right? And like, if you want to get really nerdy, there is normative data and studies, and you can actually measure how long the first rep took and then how fast the last rep went and see the velocity drop. And there's certain numbers that will indicate how close you are to failure, but that's getting really fancy. Like, for 90% of people, if you're just in there to train and try and train hard, you just need to see whether you can confidently see and say that your final reps were a lot slower than your first few, right? A fast rep speed means you're fresh and not fatigued. Like, that's where that motor unit recruitment comes in. Like, as you fatigue, your body needs to recruit more and more fibers to get the job done. Because when they're all recruited, those fibers are still working, they're still training hard, and eventually they get too tired and they can't complete the work at the same rate and with the same force output. So the speed slows down. And that's why you get those slow, grindy reps as you fail. Like, everyone instinctively knows this. They know, as you get tired and you get close to failing, your reps slow down, and that's when people ask for a spot, right? And they're getting those grindy reps. Again, great every now and then or on the smaller movements, but if you are doing this session after session, exercise after exercise, and you're asking for spots every session, you're probably training too hard too often. Like, you need to give yourself a break, right? So with the film, we know it needs to slow down. And a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll film it and they'll see their first rep, and sometimes even it is X speed, whatever. Their last rep is either the same or faster. And you just know they haven't gone anywhere near failure. And it's probably why you're not making the progress you want. Like, if they're the same speed and you finish your prescribed reps and sets, it's not heavy enough, or you haven't actually planned your training to be harder, right? Like, things should get harder and be a challenge. You shouldn't just fully fail and then need a spot to get your reps every set every day, right? They need to be harder and challenging, but they shouldn't be fully fucking you up every single session, right? And that's method two. So that's rep speed. So we have anchoring sets, and then we have the rep speed. So if you're interested about the data for the rep speed or have any extra questions about either of those two methods, you know where to find me. Just ask. But that sums up the intensity mini series. So in summary, being a three-part series, we know the body primarily needs motor unit recruitment and mechanical tension to grow and get stronger, right? you can recruit the same amount of muscle fibers and create the same amount of mechanical tension to get the same strength and hypertrophy adaptations going 3 to 5 reps close to failure as going to full absolute failure, but you'll be in less of a recovery debt and you'll be more likely to see consistent progress rather than getting stiff, sore, hitting plateaus, like always being busted up after your training. There is a time and place to train to failure as long as you're planning it and you're doing it properly and you're not just doing it every single session. And then we talked about anchoring. So that can be used to calibrate your brain's ability to estimate RPE, and it gives you that experience to look back on, like, I felt like this last time when I set 8, but I actually got another 10. So I'm going to push myself a bit more. And you'll start to practice it and get in more of a groove with it, and you'll actually start to get closer and closer to that fatigue, so you're more accurate. And then filming your sets, that can be a great way to actually visually see how hard you're training. And make sure that as the set goes on, the exercise and the reps are getting harder and slowing down, and you're actually recruiting more motor units and you're increasing the tension in your muscle and you're actually going close to failure. So I hope you enjoyed this series as much as I enjoyed recording it and planning it and talking about it. I hope it gives you the confidence and the tools to begin to train a bit smarter. Like, don't forget, train smarter and harder. Like, I want you to train smarter and think about it and actually start to plan your training, but also train harder without busting yourself up every day unnecessarily to the point then you just get stiff and sore and you feel like shit all the time. Like, training should be hard and challenging, but it should make you feel good. Like, it shouldn't bust you up. Like, yes, I agree, you need to be sore. There's going to be times you're going to feel more sore and stiff and stuff because you're training exceptionally hard. But the idea is you should be feeling better over time. Like, over time, in the long haul, it should make you feel better, move better, increase your mobility, increase your strength and stuff, not make you worse in this stiff old tin man or tin woman that has all these niggles. So train hard, but train a bit smarter. Push yourself in an intelligent way. So if you have any other topics you want to hear on here, again, you know where to find me. Just send me a message and some recommendations. But until next time, hey Doss.